when I think of that time, I just think of darkness.
Everyone, I'm your host, Alan Aist, and this is Noche de Pendejadas, your favorite talk show turned podcast where I go ahead and bring your favorite influencers to chismear, have a cocktail, and see what the fuck they are up to. Please help me welcome tonight's guest, Nazanin Kavari. Hello, hello, how are you?
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me. When you messaged me, I was so excited. I was like, babe, oh my God, he asked me to be on the podcast. I love your podcast so much.
Thank you. I actually feel very honored to have you here, which I want to go ahead and say something, you guys. I feel like this happening right now is something that a lot of people probably didn't expect to happen.
I didn't expect
it. Right? Like, I feel like it's like two worlds combined. Yes. And I feel like it's something that a lot of people are going to live for. I already can imagine when I announce that you're the next guest. La gente se va a volver loca, and I'm already going crazy because I've been following you for so long, which is a crazy thing.
Same.
And I feel like this is the first time where we sit down and actually have a convo. I mean, I've run into you a couple times at events, a little high and by moment, but this is going to be the first time where I sit down with her, you guys, and kind of have a whole blown combo, and I'm so excited.
I'm so excited.
How was the drive?
It was a little bit of a drive, but it was great. I listened to my little audiobook. It was a nice little drive.
Oh, that's cute. No, I honestly was like, as soon as I sent the address, I was like, I already know she lives far. I hope she doesn't say she can't make it. What time did you get up to glam?
I started glam at 9.
Okay, that's pretty good.
See, I have my hairstylist do my hair at the same time I do my makeup, so it saves time.
I started getting ready at 10.
Oh, yeah.
9's actually a really late time for you to actually make it on time.
I was a little late.
I mean, she was a little late, but it's okay. As long as she's here, you guys. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and I'm going to send over the mic to you so you can let us know a little bit more about who you are and what you do.
My name is Nazanin Kavari. I'm a 24-year-old beauty and lifestyle influencer. I have 3 kids.
She's like, and I just do it all. You're a mom, you're a wife, and you're an influencer. One of the top beauty lifestyle influencers. Honored to have you here. So we're going to go ahead and start con el chisme. Do you know what chisme means?
Yes, of course. Okay. I know what chisme means.
I feel like...
Yo hablo español poquito.
You actually were the one that told me.
Yeah.
You're the first non-Latina person on the podcast, which is crazy.
Oh my gosh. I'm Middle Eastern, for those of you guys who don't know. But I feel like Middle Eastern girls and Latina girls, we go together like peanut butter.
You actually look... Do you ever get it that you look Latina a little bit? When you told me, I was like, oh shit, I thought you had a little Latina in you.
Oh, no.
You're actually the second one.
Really?
Because I think I've had Wendy. Wendy's Asian.
Oh, yeah.
But I consider her Latina because she grew up where I grew up around a lot of Mexicans. Mm-hmm. So I was like, girl, you're Asian mixed with Latina.
Yeah.
With Mexicans. So we're good. So we're going to go ahead and start off. As you guys can see, I'm nervous and I'm excited to have you here. I feel like I'm rambling on. So we're going to start with the shot, you guys, so we can get these nerves out of the way.
Please.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Pa arriba, pa abajo. Para el centro y para adentro, amigas. A ver si eso me calma los nervios.
Look at us being skinny queens.
And we're chasing it down with water. Literally.
We're in our skinny era.
We're going to go ahead and start with the first question I kind of ask everyone, just to get to know you a little bit better. How was Nas growing up? How was your childhood?
I immigrated to America when I was 2 years old. I'm the youngest of 3 siblings, so I have an older sister who's 6 years older than me, and then I have an older brother who's 15 years older than me. So I grew up in Columbus, Ohio, in a small town, well, technically Worthington, Ohio, which is like a little town in Columbus. Ever since I was young, I was super headstrong. My mom, I know you always ask this question, so I asked my mom, I was like, Mom, what was I like as a kid? She was like, you would never take no for an answer. If I wanted something, I would get it by any means necessary, and I'm like, well... That hasn't
you were
changed.
Determined. You were determined. Yeah. How was it like? You know, obviously, you mentioned to us that you immigrated to America at the age of 2. How was that transition for you? Do you feel like, you know, immigrating came with any struggles for you as a kid?
It definitely wasn't as hard for me compared to my older siblings. I couldn't imagine like my brother going to high school in a whole different country. Like, I applaud him for that all the time. But definitely just growing up with immigrant parents, and I mean, I was immigrant myself coming here when I was 2, it definitely shaped me into who I am as an adult. I saw my parents working from sun up to sundown. My parents owned a restaurant, a little mom and pop shop. So I just grew up around really hardworking parents. Both of my siblings had a stay-at-home mom because I was actually born in Romania.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so my dad went to Romania to study dentistry and they had me and my sister there. And then we came here, and it's also crazy for my dad. He went from having a dentistry degree, yeah. And then when you come to a different country, you have to start over, you know, you have to go to school again. And my dad's like, I don't have time for that. I got three kids to feed. Yeah. So just growing up, seeing my parents just work so hard and fighting the language barrier. And also, I know today we're actually filming this on 9/11, but we moved literally 9 months before 9/11.
Oh, shit.
So we're this Middle Eastern family who just moved into the small town in the Midwest right before 9/11. It definitely wasn't easy. And it definitely kind of caused me to grow up a little quicker. So again, my parents were in the restaurant all day and all night. So I just saw just my parents just working hard and definitely shaped me into who I am.
Obviously, you know, you grow up and at a very young age, you know, you start producing content on YouTube at the age of 12.
Well,
you're 24 now. That's over 10 years of content creating, which is crazy. How did that all start? What was your inspo? What made you be like, you know what? I'm going to start doing YouTube.
For me, YouTube at the time was my guilty pleasure. Mm-hmm. I loved watching all the OGs like Michelle Phan, Mac Barbie 07, Juicy Star 07. Mm-hmm. So I just couldn't wait to get home from school and watch my favorite YouTubers. And when I first started, Instagram wasn't even
a thing.
Instagram started in 2014, I believe. So I would just love watching their videos, and I naturally got into makeup because I struggled with really bad acne growing up. And still in my adulthood, I still struggle with acne, but I got my first zit ever when I was 9.
Oh literally. My God. Yeah. That's
and
early.
It's been downhill since. Just me struggling with my acne, I wanted to know how to cover it. And I started out by like playing in my sister's makeup. My mom has never really been into makeup, so I'd play in my sister's makeup. But again, I was super confident as a kid. I was super headstrong. I was like, I want to do what those girls are doing.
And you did it.
I took my mom's little digital camera. And again, my parents weren't home to tell me, like, you can't do this, you can't do that. I just did it.
So you were doing it behind their back.
My mom is a lot more conservative than my dad.
Okay.
My dad is very much like, I came to this country to give you guys freedom, do what you want to do. He was very supportive. My mom, on the other hand, was more conservative. And she's like, what do you mean you're filming yourself in your bedroom at 12 years old and putting it in the internet? So, you know, my dad actually bought me my first camera, my first, like, legitimate camera, mm-hmm. and my MacBook, and I remember him telling me, like, we don't really have the money for it.
Yeah.
He put on his credit card and he was like, don't tell your mom. Don't
tell
your
sweet.
He's like, your mom is gonna lose her mind. Don't tell her.
But my dad, she's gonna fight me.
Yeah. Like, my dad always believed in me. He's like, you are gonna do, I believe in you.
Yeah.
So yeah, he got me my computer and my camera and I just kept
How was it like when your mom found out, like, oh, my daughter has a following, like, especially being so conservative? Was she like freaked out, like, oh my God, so many people follow my daughter? Or how was that?
Well, for me, it was a steady growth.
Okay.
I'm not one of those people that just became an overnight success.
Like, same.
You know, so it definitely took years. So it wasn't like that from the very beginning, but slowly, slowly, when I started to get recognized in person, my mom was like, okay, like, this is cool.
Yeah.
She was like, my mom's thing was just don't dress
crazy,
naked.
Like, naked. Okay.
She's like, stay covered, you know? And that was the big thing. It was like an ongoing joke with my following and I, because I'd post like a bikini picture and my mom would text me like, what is this that you're posting? And I would post the screenshot. So, I mean, now that I'm married and stuff, I'm my husband's problem. Yeah. My mom doesn't care, but you know, when I was younger, that was more so her thing.
Did you ever feel like that limited you in what you were posting? Or did you ever have it in the back of your head like, oh my God, I can't post this because my mom's going to freak out?
I did to an extent. I'm like, oh, my mom's going to see it. But again, my mom knows her child.
You're like, YOLO.
If I want to do something, I'm going to do it. So,
period. She knows. I mean, she describes
knows, she knows her
you.
Daughter. And I always tell my mom, I'm like, Ma, you raised me to be this like strong, independent woman.
What was for you your aha moment where you were like, you know what? I'm doing this for fun, you know, doing YouTube for fun. What was your moment where you're like, wow, I can actually make this a career. I can make money and I can do this for a living.
I remember going to my first ever BeautyCon. What,
oh my God.
What year did BeautyCon start?
BeautyCon 2016, 2015 maybe?
Yeah, like 2016.
That's crazy. So, yeah. Did you see that they're doing a new like revamped BeautyCon?
Really?
I don't know if it'll be as successful, but they're actually, it's already like a
really?
Deal.
Yeah.
Like,
oh my God, that's so
it's
exciting.
Done.
I loved BeautyCon because that was my opportunity, again, living in Ohio, to like come out to LA. I believe the first one happened when I was 15. And I bought my own plane ticket. Oh, literally, I didn't ask my parents' permission to go to BeautyCon. I bought my ticket,
you're
and
like,
I was like, I'm going to BeautyCon in LA. I had a friend at the time who was coming here like with her mom. So I was like, I'm going to be staying in their hotel room. So they're like, okay. Again, I grew up very independent. Again, my parents weren't home. So I was kind of like just doing whatever I wanted to do. So I flew to the first ever BeautyCon and it was just a huge eye opener. I believe it was my first time coming to LA as, I guess, an adult. I was 15 at the time. I used to come when I was like 9 or 10 because my brother used to live here. But this was my first time coming and seeing the influencer scene with my own eyes. Yeah. The one
at
that I've been
15?
Yeah, like the one that I've been like idolizing since I was like 11, 12. So I come to BeautyCon and I see that I have a general admission ticket. And these other girls have talent passes. And I was like, a talent pass? Like,
you're like, what's
they
that?
They have access to these lounges and the pre-parties and the post-parties. And I'm just sitting here with my little general admission. And I ended up like, I kind of had a falling out with a friend that I came here with. And I remember my dad picked me up from the airport when I came back to Ohio in tears, crying my eyes out. And he's like, what's wrong? What happened? And I was like, I'm not shit. Literally. I'm like, I think I'm doing something. At the time, I had like 100K on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not shit. Like, all these other girls have managers. They're getting talent passes. They're getting this. They're getting that. They're on red carpets. And I'm just sitting here with my little general admission. Like, thinking,
like, what am I doing? Yeah.
So, me at little 15 years old, again, I did this all on my own. I didn't have, like, parents that were, like, helping me type up emails. All the managers that I met on my trip to LA, I got their contact info. And I just started sending out emails. You know, just pitching myself. I'm looking for a manager. And only one manager got back to me saying that they're willing to sign me. The rest of them were like, we can start on a non...
Like a, just a trial.
Basis. Yeah, like a little trial period. You know, I was a kid at the time. I'm 15. We can do a little trial. But I had one manager come back and she's like, I will sign you. And then once she signed me, the deal started coming more.
More.
So at the time, you know, AdSense, you know, like AdSense doesn't really like make or break you.
Break,
it's
yeah.
the sponsorships. So through her, I started getting like my first... five-figure sponsorship deals. And I'm like...
At the age of 15?
Yes, at the age of 15.
Oh my God.
I remember getting like my first big one. It was Curology. It was like my first like big deal. And I was like, oh my gosh. And it was so full circle because Curology is a skincare brand.
Yeah.
And you know, I struggle with acne. So I'm like, this thing that caused so much pain in my life...
And so much insecurity.
Insecurity is now... you know,
wanting to sponsor and work with me.
Like,
that's crazy. That's a full circle.
Me.
Yeah.
So to me, that was just a huge sign that I'm on the right path. And yeah, from there, I just started with my manager. And then my sister at the time, she had just graduated college. She was going into her career and she really was not happy.
Yeah.
So I was like, people love us together. Let's start Kavari Vlogs. And it was like, we made a joint channel.
Uh-huh.
And people loved it.
I remember that.
Yeah,
that's
people
crazy.
Loved Kavari Vlogs. So that really blew us up, just us working together. And then I continued on the side. Like, so that was back before lifestyle was really a thing on YouTube. It was like you had your professional beauty page with like your perfect setup and your camera and your lights. And then you had a separate vlog channel.
Yeah. At 15, you know, you start making this crazy amount of money, especially for a child. How was that for you? And how was that for your parents? I'm sure it was like, whoa, what is my daughter doing that these companies want to pay her so much?
My parents were really proud of me. Again, this is the whole reason my family immigrated to America. My dad wanted us to have freedom and to be able to be independent and do what we wanted to do. So my parents were so, so happy for me. And I grew up with a good like head on my shoulders.
Yeah.
I didn't just see this money and I'm like, oh, this is time to spend it.
Like shopping
yes,
time, yeah.
Yes, no, I definitely saved up my money. Again, I grew up knowing the value of a dollar. I saw my parents working all the time and hearing, we don't have money, we don't have money. So I'm like, let me hold on to this money and save as much as I can. But at the same time, I'm very giving.
Yeah.
So this second, my parents have never asked me for a dime, ever. They were not like, oh, you're making money, you're living under our roof, give us money. I just wanted to do that because my parents, again, sacrificed so much for us. And now as a mother myself, who has three kids myself, I don't know how they moved to this whole new country, didn't speak a lick of English, didn't know how to do anything, and they made ends meet. I don't know how they did it.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? Like, especially because, like you said, your dad had a whole career.
Yes.
And he's like, let's scratch that. Let's move to a whole new country. Yes. That must have been, you know,
so
rewarding
hard
for them to see like, wow, like we really did the damn thing. We did something right.
Yes.
So obviously, you know, at 15, you start making your first six figures. When that check hit, when like that first big check hit, What was like your reaction? I'm sure you're like, what the?
I actually didn't know I made six figures that year until you had to do something
called
taxes.
Girl.
That was like a huge thing too. Cause again, I didn't come from money. Yeah. I didn't have trust funds and all this. We didn't even know. I know there's a savings account and a checking account. Yeah. Like that's it. So that was something kind of I had to navigate on my own. I mean, my dad did have a friend that did taxes, so he helped me out with that. You, yeah. And then that's when I saw I made over $100,000 this year. For me, I just think I was given these blessings because I'm so giving and so willing to help everyone around me. Like if I have $10, you have $10. Yeah. I've never been stingy with my money. And I think that's why I keep getting rewarded. But yeah, it's such a rewarding feeling. And I was able to buy my first house at 20 years old because I had saved my money from 16 years old. If I didn't save my money and I was out buying stupid stuff, don't get me wrong, I did buy a few stupid things. Like I have some bags in my closet that I'm like,
and I feel like that comes a lot to do with, especially, you know, the way your parents, you know, kind of make you see work in the sense of like, I can't relate to you in that aspect because, you know, my parents grew up, you know, in Mexico. They migrated, you know, to America and they didn't have nothing. So they would work paycheck to paycheck, which I'm sure your parents did too at a point. But to me, when I started making money, I mean, I fucking went from making no money to like, now I'm like, oh, like I'm making money. So I remember when I would first get my paychecks, that shit would be gone in a week. Like, I already knew what I wanted to buy before I even had the money in my account. Yeah. So I feel like for me, I struggled so much with like saving. What's something that you feel like, obviously you say your parents helped you and like you saw them struggle and you saw them go through it. That helped you become, you know, someone that saves money. But do you feel like there was something more in you that you're like, no, like this is a lot of money. I got to take advantage of the opportunity.
I just always kind of saw the end goal, like the bigger picture. I definitely did spend, don't get me wrong, but I kind of viewed it. I would be more willing to spend when I knew I'd get a return on it.
Okay.
So for example, when Makeup by Mario did his masterclass in New York, I took my sister, we got a cute hotel in New York, we got our flights. Like obviously I'm spending a lot of money, but to me, I'm like, I'm making content surrounding that.
So like, I'm going to get something.
Yeah. So that's a tax write-off, you know? But for me, I remember my parents bought the building that their restaurant's in. We had a really small restaurant at first. And then my dad bought an old Hooters.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when they moved into that bigger restaurant, that's when I started to learn about investing in real estate. Cause my parents kind of told me about, you know, we're buying this property. We're putting a down payment down 10%, 20%. And this is something that we can keep forever. My dad always tells us, he's like, when I die, don't sell my buildings.
You're like please
keep it
don't.
For your grandkids.
So it still exists to this day.
Yeah. So it's actually now a Mexican restaurant in Ohio.
Oh my God. Yeah, how's that?
It's really
good. So there is some Latina in you.
Latina. But yeah, so I just always knew my dad's number one thing was like buy buildings, buy buildings. Even our previous house, again, I live in Ohio, so the cost of living is a lot lower than it is here. So our house at the time, like our first house was about $150,000 at the time. My parents just ended up buying it. Just seeing my parents do that, I'm like, okay, I want to have a portfolio. Yeah. I want to have these things under my belt too.
Obviously you started doing social media and you grew really quickly. You were already making money, you know, at such a young age. What was the moment that you're like, you know what, I think I need to move to LA to really, you know, go full force with this influencer thing?
So I moved to LA pretty much the year I graduated high school.
Okay.
I got my own apartment in Ohio, and then me and my sister were here in LA and we saw this apartment building that we loved and we're like, let's just move out here.
Okay.
I think for me, again, everybody's different. I don't say you have to live in LA, but for the direction I was looking at for my career, I wanted to be in the scene. I wanted to be at all the events. I wanted to be at the red carpet. I wanted that. I know not everybody's like that. I'm very extroverted. I love meeting people. I love talking to people.
Like being out there. Yeah.
I like being out there. So for me, I'm like, where's the best place to do it? LA. And Ohio's so far. It's like a 5-hour flight. Maybe if I lived in like Texas or something.
Or Arizona.
I can fly for the weekend, come back. But 5-6 hours, it's...
How was that? Was it scary? Like maybe like the first year trying to adapt to, you know, a whole new lifestyle? Because I've lived in OC kind of my whole life. But whenever I think about LA, I feel like that lifestyle is so like fast paced to where I'm like, never.
So before we fully moved out here, we would come for a month at a time. So we'd come here for like a month, get an Airbnb. So I feel like by the time I moved here, I had my go-to nail salon. I had my go-to spots. I had my go-to restaurants. I had my friends here. So it wasn't like I was just going to this whole new place. Yeah. So I kind of took...
Like you created a life before you really made it your life.
Yes.
That's crazy. That's so cool. So you talked to us about the beginning of your journey in the makeup world. You know, you started off doing makeup because you said you were really insecure about your acne. How do you feel like your look at makeup has changed now that you're one of beauty's top influencers?
So when I first started, I do think the beauty scene was more prevalent. Well, when I first started, that was back when we were just using our little Wet n Wild eyeshadow palettes that literally wrote for you eyelid, crease,
With a little brush that didn't do nothing.
Oh my God, yes. Those were the days.
Those were the days.
I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I watch some videos, like Mac Barbie's old videos, and I'm like, just for the nostalgia.
You know what's so crazy, though? I feel like those really were the days of social media. Fun. I remember I would post a video, would gain like 2,000-3,000 followers every single time you'd post.
It was so easy.
Now I lose any time I post on Instagram.
Now, oh my God, you got to work so hard to get like 2 likes. And then we saw it like peaked at like 2016, 2017. And I was very heavy into that. A lot of people at the time knew me because of my like get ready with me for prom videos and for my makeup, but now we have shifted into more lifestyle. So now a lot of people that I meet are like, I found you through your pregnancy videos. I found you through this video. It's not, some people don't even know that I do makeup.
Yeah. They're like, oh, I didn't even know you had a whole life before this.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and I still do post. I feel like I post a decent amount of
makeup. I think you do.
I try to keep it there. At the end of the day, makeup will forever be my passion. But just naturally, it's just not as important to me as it used to be, especially being a mom now. I just tinted sunscreen, mascara, brows, and I'm good to go.
It's just your life is so like different now than what it was before too. We're like, girl, I don't got the time now.
We used to do like a smoky cut crease to go to the grocery store. Like, girl, what?
And now it's like, girl, you don't even do that to go out. Oh,
I know.
It's crazy. So, you know, obviously you move out here. Did you meet your husband out here or did you meet him back in Ohio? How was that?
Yeah, I actually met him back home in Ohio. And I love that. I love that we're from the same place. It just hits different, you know, especially when we go back to visit family. Our parents' houses are 10 minutes away from each other. So before we even had kids, we'd both stay at our own, we'd be married and stay at our own parents' houses. Like I'd stay at my mom's house, my mom and dad's house, he'd stay at his.
When you guys lived out here, right? So you guys can enjoy each other's family separately.
We met, we're from the same hometown. He's 3 years older than me. And just naturally, when you're from the same town, I feel like everybody kind of knows each other. We followed each other on Instagram for a while until we finally saw each other in person. But like we weren't even like interested in each other.
It was just more like you knew each other.
You know, like Mel was a handsome guy. He was like popular. You know, I had my following. We followed each other and he worked at the Nike store.
Okay.
And I remember walking, I was back to school shopping for my senior year and that's when I first saw him. But he actually told me that he was on break in the back and they said on the headset like, yo, this like that almost so cringe. They're like, yo, this baddie walked in here, like all that. So he's like, let me go see who it is.
You're like, I'm no longer on my break.
He was on break. I didn't even know that. And he was like helping me like buy shoes.
He's like, I'll clock in for her.
Right. He walks out, he says hi to me, and then he hugs my mom. Which, knowing my husband now, because he's more reserved, like, that was so out of character for him, like, to hug my mom. But, yeah, he was, like, helping me get shoes. I didn't like any of them. Our styles are so different. Mel definitely brought me more into fashion because I'm not naturally a fashionable person, to be honest. But, yeah, I saw him at the Nike store. But it's so crazy because I remember going to a party. And we talk about it all the time. We went to a party once. And I was with another guy and he was with another girl. Again, like we were just like not even interested in each other's lives at the moment.
Yeah. How was that?
Mel always, he's always said like, always thought you were beautiful, but like, I always thought you were out of my league. He would tell his mom. His mom told me he'd show her my picture and be like, this is going to be my wife one day. And she's like, okay, this little Kim K wannabe. So he's like, I never really thought we could be together. But again, he always shot his shot. And I just love the fact that it wasn't like he slid in my DMs. Yeah. Like he would always see me on person. Again, we lived in a small town and we lived in a college town too. So a lot of the bars and clubs would have 18 and up nights.
Okay.
So when I would go on the 18 and up nights, I'd always see him out with his friends and he'd always talk to me. Like, oh, he made sure.
What was like the moment for you? Like, you know what? I'm going to give him a shot.
He was, believe it or not, he was actually one of the first guys who asked me out on a proper date. He was like, I want to take you to dinner. I want to take you to like an actual date. Most guys would be like, come over.
Like movie night, Netflix. Or like, yeah, some, yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
One guy I was talking to was like, come drive up and see me at school. And literally, he lived in like New York, like a 6-hour drive. Like, you want me to drive 6 hours? Literally, like, these boys are stupid. That's why I'm so happy I have my husband. Like, he took me on a proper date. And it was funny because a subscriber came up to me on our date. Uh-huh. We went to a Mexican restaurant, you know, Latina things. But no, we were at this Mexican restaurant and this subscriber came up to me and he's like, wait, like, you're like, these followers aren't just a number. At the time, I wasn't even that big at the time. I had about like 80K on Instagram. He's like, wait, like, you're like really...
like popping. Yeah, you're popping.
And I'm like, no. You know, still in my head, I don't think I am. And I'm so thankful for the followers I have. I don't even see them as fans. Yeah. Like, they truly are my family. Like, I have some people who have followed me since I was literally like 12.
Oh my God.
And they know like what my bedroom looked like my little pink and... zebra bedroom, and they watched me fail my first driver license test. I actually failed 3 times, believe it or not. But yeah, like, people have really grown with me and it's just crazy. And then from there we just started dating more and more, but I never really like took him serious, if that makes sense.
It was like, you didn't know it was gonna be a forever thing beginning.
Neither did he.
What was your moment that you're like, you know what, like, it is gonna be a forever thing?
Honestly, Mel really is my best friend. And I think just that alone, honestly, these boys nowadays are so, like, when I hear my single friends, their stories, I'm like, thank God I'm married.
You're like, girl, how, where are you finding these boys?
Yeah. With my husband before half of these guys they tell me about. But I don't know. Like, for me, we really just watered into each other. So when Mel and I first started dating, he worked at Chase Bank.
Okay.
And naturally, he found his passion of photography through me. And then through him, he just kind of unlocked this like new layer of creativity. Yeah. Like, Mel is such a creative, and I really wasn't at the time. But when he kind of came on board, he started editing for me, taking all of my pictures. I was able to push out way more content.
Yeah.
And it's not even that, you know, like, as a creative, just having that support person for the emotional support, yeah, and just someone who's there to help you no matter what. And just having that just really transformed my entire career.
That was like it for you. You're, yes, like, you know what? He really is here to level you up.
Yes.
You know, because I feel like, especially you being a baddie, you know, I feel like a lot of men tend to get more, you know, they love the idea of having a baddie, yep, but they don't love it until they get one.
Yep.
How was that ever like an idea for you? Like, obviously he didn't feel like that, but was that ever like, did it ever cross your mind? Like, I hope he doesn't change when he has me.
Yeah. So when I first moved out here to LA with my sister, it was just my sister and I. He didn't come with me, and we were together at the time.
Yeah.
And he would tell me his friends would be in his ear, like, she probably out with some rapper or with some NFL player. Yeah. Let me tell you, those men are headaches, okay? Yeah. And if any of you guys get in, like, one of them slides in your DMs, just don't take them serious, please. They're just for fun. Have fun. Yeah. Have fun with them.
You know, like, they're not going to take you serious.
Let them wine
serious.
And dine you, but trust me, like, they're headaches. And so his friends would be in his ear, like, oh, she's talking to some rapper, this, that, and a third. But one thing I loved about Mel, he never questioned me. He never questioned my loyalty. He never agreed with them. He never let his ego or his insecurities get in the way. And that's why we're so happy. Yeah. I don't like jealousy. I don't think that stuff is cute.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Some people like their man to be like jealous and like,
you're like, not me.
To me, jealousy is like a stepping stone to violence. Like, yeah. I don't like that. So he's never ever shown me that side. And that's why I was like, this is the man for me. I'm able to pursue my career, do what I love. I love my job. Yeah. And not a lot of people can say that, but I'm so passionate about what I do. So I could not have a partner in my life that was keeping me from that.
Oh, it was going to slow you down.
You can't go to events. You can't go do this podcast. You can't do this. You can't do that. No.
You're like, like, I was doing this shit before you. Right. I'm going to keep doing, which is great, you know, hearing you say that, because I do tend to meet a lot of girls that are, you know, they have this whole career and then they get a boyfriend and they always feel like they have to slow down to kind of accommodate to their insecurities. And I feel like it's so great hearing you be like, you know what? Mel was never that for me. So obviously you guys started dating 2 years, a little bit over 2 years later, you guys get married.
Yes.
How was that crazy story? I know you kept it a secret from your followers for a bit. How was that? And why did you keep it a secret from them?
So Mel and I both have parents that have been together for centuries.
Uh-huh.
So his mom and dad have been together since they were 13 and 14 years old.
Okay.
They had senior year of high school. And when I tell you, they're so in love, like, they're definitely very inspirational. Like, they're still going on date nights, aww, like all of that. So seeing that, and then my parents have been together. My mom was 17 when she married my dad. I knew we both wanted that. Yeah. We both wanted longevity. You know, there's some people who are like, we don't see the point of marriage. We wanted that.
Wanted that, yeah.
And also, I think a lot of people forget, like, what comes with marriage. They're also, God forbid, like, something happens, you get in a car accident, you're in the hospital. Your husband has more power over a boyfriend, you know, and stuff like that. And even just with our jobs, being independent contractors, that tax write-off, and then with the kids, you know, there were just so many positives, and we knew we wanted to spend the rest of our lives together. So we're like, why not? And we didn't really keep it a secret for too long. I think we kept it a secret for like 3 months, but you know, I believe that the year that we got married was 2019. And I think that was the year where like, hate was so big. Honestly, I haven't really been getting as bad of hate lately. I don't want to jinx it.
You're like, don't jinx it,
compared
girl.
Compared to like 2017 and 2019, like the type of hate, people were just out for blood. Like they wanted to see you
fail. They wanted to see you cry.
They wanted to see you cry and fail. So it was just like a really scary time. So I'm like, I don't want to share this and people to kind of shit all over it. So I'm like, let's just enjoy ourselves and then post about it.
So obviously, you know, you mentioned about the hate, and once you posted it, there was people that were in the comments like, you guys are too young, you know, you're only 20. How did you feel when you started getting those comments, and how do you see it now? I mean, it's been a while and you guys are still together and happy.
So for me, I just kind of view that comment like, you're losing your freedom. What are you exactly losing? Am I losing my ability to talk to multiple men that would probably just end up breaking my heart, creating trauma for me? You know, all of these things that I would have to spend years fixing and healing from. So for me, I think when you truly marry your best friend, you're not missing out on fun, because we're having fun
together.
Yeah. You know, so if I was married to a man, again, who was keeping me from living out my dream, keeping me from living my career, from my happiness, I wasn't allowed to go on girls' nights or girls' trips.
Like, I'd be done.
Of course, marriage would be terrible. But for me, again, if you marry your best friend, you marry the right person, you know, things
that's
should...
That's so cute. And I feel like that's something that I feel like maybe the people that would attack you, it's like, yeah, you're attacking me because maybe you've never met someone that makes you feel that way. You know what I mean?
I don't blame them. If I think about some of the guys, I never... Mel was actually like my first real boyfriend, believe it or not. But some of the guys I was talking to before that, if I was married to them, I would be miserable.
You're like, you probably wouldn't even have your career.
I wouldn't. They'd be like, oh, you posting these pictures for attention. Again, I have never heard anything like that come from Mel's mouth. And that's how I knew, like, this is the man for me. If anything, he's like, I get mad when men don't find you attractive. Like, when you walk in a room,
what are you doing wrong?
Like, when you walk in a room, they don't give you attention. I'm like, hello.
You're like, do you not see
her? Literally. So I'm like, I love that. And actually, I love when girls think Mel is cute.
I think it's a sense of security too. Yeah. Like, you know what you have, he knows what he has. So there's not really any space for any of you guys to both be insecure, you know? So you guys get married, and then, you know, you give birth. You get pregnant. Well, before you give birth, you get pregnant and you give birth, and you kind of have what people can consider a COVID baby. How was that experience for you? And do you feel like, you know, having a COVID baby maybe changed your first pregnancy or first mom experience for you?
Believe it or not, I got pregnant 3 months after we got married. And I say this all the time. I'm like, thank God we got married. Because in my family, again, I do what I want, but there's some things I'm like, my parents would have killed me.
So I'm
like, flipped. So I'm like, thank goodness I was married. But yeah, I got pregnant. A lot of people thought we announced our pregnancy so I can be like, oh, I'm married before I got pregnant. No, I literally got married in March. Got pregnant 3 months later.
And it was my honeymoon.
Literally. Honeymoon baby.
Literally.
And my honeymoon was in Puerto Rico. So yeah, COVID definitely was a hard time. So my son was born on March 13th, 2020.
Okay.
Literally the start of COVID. So when we got to the hospital, there was no rules and regulations. The clock struck midnight. Boom. COVID. And you know, you already have this anxiety as a first-time mom. And then I'm getting calls from my sister like, girl, we can't find baby wipes. We can't find...
nothing.
Hand sanitizer. We can't find nothing. So just kind of having that fear and anxiety was a lot. And then again, like I told you, I'm very extroverted. I love hanging out with my friends. I love going out. So having my son and then kind of being confided to the house, I guess it was nice because, you know, I kind of feel like the whole world went on a maternity leave with me. But now looking back on it, now that I had another pregnancy to compare it to, another postpartum period, with my first son, it was a lot more of a darker time than when I had my twins.
Did you go through like postpartum depression bad?
I was never diagnosed, but I do think I went through postpartum.
With your first one?
With my first, I do.
Because of the COVID or why? Why do you think?
It was just, when I think of that time, I just think of darkness, which, yeah, it just, again, I was so happy to have my son, you know, to become a mother, but let's be real, like, that's just such a scary adjustment for women. For me, when people ask me, like, oh, how's having twins? Like, was that not crazy? And I'm like, honestly, going from no babies to having a baby was a way bigger adjustment than having twins. And for me, so because it was COVID, we're all confined in one house. My mom, bless her soul, she came to stay with us to help with Kayvon. But then I became the middleman between my mom and Mel.
Yeah.
And this is two people who have two different cultural backgrounds. So in my culture, grandmas are supposed to come and help and be super duper hands-on. And
like then too much. It's almost like they're the mom. Yeah, it's very much like Latinx. Yeah, it's the same thing. Yeah.
So compare it to American culture. Yeah. It's, Mel was like, does your mom not think we're capable of being parents? Yeah, like she has too much of a say. She's doing too much. I want to spend time with my son and she's constantly taking Kayvon from me. So I became this like middleman. And it's like, I'm the one who's postpartum. I should be the one that's taken care of. Yeah. But instead, I'm worried about your feelings and my mom's feelings. And in turn, like, I've only really had three panic attacks in my life. And two of them were during the postpartum with Kayvon. And again, it wasn't Kayvon. Like, I just think it was, like, the circumstances.
Everything. I feel like, and I mean, you were a new mom. Everybody new mom, wanted to help you out. But then it's
no
like...
No friends. Like, I love spending time with my friends. I really cherish my girlfriends. And, like, it was, like, no friends. No, like, when I had the twins, we were going out to, like, lunch and breakfast. Like, every day we'd take the twins in a little stroller. We'd go out. But, yeah, it was just such an isolating time. And I didn't like it.
How do you feel like you overcame that? Because I feel like, you know, a lot of people maybe watching have gone through that or maybe going through that where it's, like, you don't know where to put the boundary as in, like, to my mom and to my husband. How do you feel like you overcame that?
Honestly, it was, I think when they saw me having the panic attack, like, when I tell you, like, I lost my mind. Yeah. Like, I was, like, ripping my hair.
They're like, what the?
Like, now that I think about that time, I'm like, I couldn't even do that to myself now because I'm in a better place. But I was like literally threatening. I'm like, I'm going to throw myself out of the window. Like it was really, really bad. And I think that kind of opened their eyes that we all have one end goal here.
Yeah.
We all just want to be the best we can be for Kayvon. At the time, it was just Kayvon. Like we want to be the best we can be for him. And stressing out the mom, like if you're stressing out the mom, you're not doing the kid
any favor.
So I think when they saw me kind of like lose my mind, they're like, okay, we can both like work it out now. And again, it's that language barrier. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting there, my mom's saying stuff in Farsi. I'm translating it to Mel in English. Sometimes the translation doesn't come off as well. So I'm like, that's not what she meant. She meant it like this way. Like it was a lot. But now we all know each other. They know each other very well. Like my mom and Mel are like besties now. They're on the same page. So
I think it just comes down to, you know, really understanding each other. And I feel like a lot of the time, you know, like you said it perfectly. I feel like, especially when a mom, you know, has a baby, I feel like everyone wants to help out for the baby, but forget about the mom.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like you're going through a lot of emotional, physical changes that you have to deal with. And it kind of almost, it's like, oh, let's forget about her. Let's worry about the baby. Right. Where it's like, no, you got to help the mom out because at the end of the day, you got to be good to be able to, you know, have your baby and be with your baby. So
I actually saw a really good tweet on that topic. It was saying that fathers who are good dads, but not a good partner. Are you really a good dad?
That's
stressing
true.
Out the main the caregiver of the child.
That really is true.
Because you hear that all the time. Like a lot of women stay in relationships because they're like, oh, he's such a good dad. But it's like, is he a good partner? Is he good for your mental health? Is he good for your physical health? No.
Like he might be good to your kid, but maybe he's causing so much drama damage to you where you can't function fully as a mom because how down you are. That is a good tweet. You know, that is a good way of thinking.
It really opened my eyes because a lot of people ask me about what's it like to be a mom and they kind of want to take my opinion and apply it to themselves and determine whether they're ready to be a mom or not. And let me tell you firsthand, your partner will completely determine how you are as a mother. It really will determine how it will go for you, whether it be a positive experience or negative. That's why I hate when girls want to compare themselves to me. They're like, oh, Nas had a kid at 21. Let me have a kid at 21. Or like, because she did it, I can do it. And I'm like, let's look at the facts here. Like, I had my career, I had my home, I had a very supportive partner, you know, so definitely it's not an age thing. It's like where you are in life
or when you're ready, because I feel like you know, I feel like that happens a lot. You see young girls in high school, middle school, even middle school, you know, getting pregnant, and I mean, you can do it, and you know, it doesn't mean that you're confined to this horrible life. There's women that, you know, take that and create something even greater for themselves. But I feel like it becomes a sense of like they see it so often and they feel like they can do it, but it's like, no, like you also have to feel like you're a kid bringing a kid into this world, and you have to be considerate and mindful that like, will you be able to do it if you can barely take care of yourself?
And again, you know, I'm not here to judge at all. I'm just saying, because I know a lot of girls look up to me, and that's a fear that I have, because I'm like, these girls are looking at me and they're like, well, Nas married her first boyfriend
at 20.
I'm like, I don't want another person watching my content do like follow in my footsteps, but they do it with the wrong person. And then it's like their life goes to shit, and like it's healthy.
They're like, it's Nas' fault. I know. I saw her do it.
No, that's what I'm saying. But people really blame you as an influencer. Like, let's say I use a shampoo and they go buy the shampoo and it doesn't work out for their hair. They're in my DMs like, I wasted money. Like,
you liar.
You liar. You this. And we're like, don't you feel like when you work for, you do a sponsorship for a brand, you become their customer service? Because that to me too.
Oh my God, DMs, yes.
And I'm like, never got my package. Like, girl, I don't got the UPS.
I'm like, girl, I don't own the brand. You're like, literally, I just got the check. It literally does feel like that. Yeah. And I feel like you feel that pressure of like,
it's a responsibility.
You know, it's a responsibility. But I feel like at the end of the day, you know, just as much as we have responsibility, I feel like the people watching have the responsibility too of, you know, doing the research, making sure they know that maybe something that worked for me isn't going to work for them. And that's okay. You know, we get through that, you know, now you're a mommy of three, you know, how, first of all, before we get into that topic, how was it like being pregnant with twins? That's crazy.
Let me tell you, being pregnant with twins is a whole different ball game. So my pregnancy with my first was honestly pretty easy. I didn't really have too many pains. I went full term. The birth was really easy. So I'm not going to lie. In my head, I was like, women be complaining too much. Like, this is not that bad. Like, they're so dramatic. God humbled me real quick with the twins. I swear, I got twins to be humbled. I swear.
God's like, I'm a teacher.
Yeah,
lesson.
He was like, oh, really? You thought pregnancy was easy?
He's like, boom.
Here's two. Just even with having twins, I had to see a doctor every 2 weeks. Okay. With a singleton. You see, it's called singleton. I know it's kind of weird.
That's the first time I heard that.
Singleton pregnancy, you go every 4 weeks. So I was going every 2 weeks, I'd switch off between a regular OB and then a high-risk doctor. So there was like very in-depth scans, you know. So one of my twins, so he has a right, Kai, he has a right aortic arch, which means his blood flows to the right instead of the left. And when I found that out, the doctor was like, you know what, this actually isn't a very scary thing, but 2 out of 5 times it could lead to a like the syndrome. So that's when they started talking about possibly terminating the pregnancy. So he's like, you can do, I forget what it's called. It's where they take a needle and get amniotic fluid
to the chromosomes and to check everything.
So
yeah.
He was like, so a lot of people have a right aortic arch, but they don't even know. I've never talked about this before, but it really did affect my pregnancy and really scare me during it. But basically they said that, so when they saw he had that heart abnormality, they said that I could do this like testing for it. We did do genetic testing and that came back fine, but he's like, we really won't know until you give birth unless you decide to terminate. And I was like, okay, like let's explore, like I just want to know the facts. So with a twin pregnancy, if you choose to terminate, basically they inject the one twin to stop growing and that stays in you the entire pregnancy until you give birth to the other twin.
That can be so traumatic.
So I was like, what? Like when he told me that, I just burst into tears. So I have to sit with pretty much a dead baby inside of me for 9 months.
And then see it come out. And
it like, just that fact alone really, really scared me.
Yeah.
So through more testing, I saw a children's not a pediatrician, cardiologist for the heart.
And cardiologist,
she,
I think that's
like
called.
A pediatric cardiologist. And she told me that usually with these syndromes, they see more abnormalities in the heart. And she's like, because of this one, if I were you, just go through the pregnancy. And I was like, girl, what?
You're like, what do you mean? So, like take your chances.
Yeah, like take your chances. So I went throughout this whole pregnancy. I'm like, I don't know if my child's going to have these things, but I will love my child regardless. So I give birth and I wake up. My son is in the NICU. I'm like, this is it.
Yeah.
There's something wrong. Like, but luckily my son was fine. He did have breathing problems. They finally went away when he was about a year old. But yeah, like,
it was scary.
It was that whole pregnancy. Like, there was just so much anxiety throughout the pregnancy. Again, with Kayvon, I didn't have any issues with the genetic testing or anything like that. So just that alone was something that stressed me out during the pregnancy. And then also just having twins, I was clocked out by like 29 weeks. I remember crying to my doctor. I'm like, I can't go any longer.
Yeah.
Like, this is, it was just so heavy. It felt like I had this like bowling ball in my pelvis. And with two, I would feel pain. So I would feel pain in the bottom half of my pelvis. And then I'd also feel at the top because there was two.
So
my rib cage would hurt and my pelvis.
I've heard that's like when they go up here, it's like the worst pain ever.
And I always felt this like stretching in my like pelvis. It was just very painful. It was very painful. It was very exhausting. And I gave birth in August. So think about the summer of LA.
The hot.
I just remember like the last like month, I would just lay naked in the couch with the AC like blasting on me. I actually felt more comfortable sleeping on the couch, which is weird.
Okay, that's weird.
Yeah, because I liked having my back pressed up against
the couch, just chilling up.
And then I'd have the pillows on this side to support me. So I was kind of like sandwiched. But yeah, it was very painful. And I had a C-section with the twins.
Yeah.
So it was just hard all around.
Do you feel like, you know, obviously, thank you for opening up about that, by the way. Do you feel like because of everything you were going through, do you feel like you almost couldn't enjoy the pregnancy as much because you were too worried about the what ifs?
Yes, I did. I remember there'd be nights where I just couldn't sleep. I'd be on Google and Reddit, just like
reading about the worst
baby, right aortic arch, you know, like just reading all about that. And I really do think that doctors instill this fear in you because they'd rather to tell you the worst case scenario. So when it isn't the worst case scenario, you're like, oh,
you made it. Yeah.
And I feel like that is, everything is okay. And then it's not okay. And then you're like, well, you lied.
You lied. Yeah. I think that's like a thing that they do all the time. Like they always, even when we go, I mean, even injections or anything, like they scare you when they make you sign everything. You're like, you might die from getting Botox. And I'm like, what do you mean?
Or like before you get your epidural, they're like, you might end up paralyzed. Like pretty much they tell you that.
The
like,
worst case scenario.
Yeah. So I'm like,
but I feel like that you already having, you know, the hormones and going crazy, that probably made you even go more insane. Like, you're like, what do you mean this can happen to my baby? Right.
Well, this, I talked about my three panic attacks. My third one that I had was when I was getting my epidural to give birth to the twins. It didn't work.
Oh my God.
So then it only numbed half of my body. And I heard so many horror stories about that. And especially after they tell you like you can end up paralyzed, I'm like,
be like, I'm done. Like,
literally. Yeah. So I didn't panic too much after the first one because they brought back the anesthesiologist to do it again. She did it again. One side got completely numb even more and the other side was fine. So that feeling of half of your body being numb and half not, like I couldn't even move my hand. It was absolutely
scary.
Terrifying. So I remember like, I just kind of like blacked out and Mel walks into the room at the time and he was like, dude, when I walked in, I wasn't aware of what was happening, but he was like, every nurse on that floor was in that room. Like, I was getting, like,
pinned down. Like, it was scary. Yeah,
like, I was literally getting pinned down. Like, I didn't share this. I was going to do a video on my birth story, but honestly, my birth story was so traumatic that it took me a while to even talk about it with my friends without birthing. Without bursting into tears. So, now I'm in such a good place now. Like, I see my beautiful babies, and I just feel so blessed to
They're
have
so
them.
Healthy,
that
yeah.
I'm like, oh, it was nothing. But Mel literally told me, I've never shared this to anybody. But he's like, when I walked in, I, like, completely shit myself. Like, all that's how bad I was panicking. I didn't
even
know I did that.
He had never seen you like that.
He was like, you're going crazy. Like, I was getting pinned back by, like, all these nurses. And it was literally one of the most terrifying. Like, I couldn't breathe. Like, I was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, this is it. This is it. So that's when I was trying to have them vaginally. I didn't have the strength anymore after that. I was like, give me the C-section. And the C-section, I know by saying that, it's like, oh, you're not strong if you get a C-section. But any way you bring your baby into the world,
you're strong. Just carrying a baby makes you strong enough.
Healing from a C-section was so difficult. When I tell you, just all of this humbled me in ways that nothing else could have. It really opened my eyes. Like, I'm not untouchable.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still human.
Like, so, even the worst can happen. Yes. You know what I mean?
Again, like, I had such an easy birth the first round. I'm like,
you're like, I got easy. This. You're like, I'll get pregnant
a
anytime.
Fertility queen. No, like, birth is so scary. And that's, again, why want to put in women's heads, like, don't just have a baby for any man, you know, like, he needs to be worth it. You are putting your body through so much. You're so risking your life for this. Make sure it's for the right person. Man.
Yeah, no, it's you know? It's true, because I feel like, well, I'm really so inspired just like hearing you talk about all this, because you really are saying a lot of the things that like a lot of women don't really put in their head when it comes to, you know, getting pregnant. Like, I feel like a lot of women, like, and this is not to, you know, bash anyone. It's just more of like, it really is something that it's a conversation you need to have, because a lot of people just be having babies and don't really think it through. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So obviously, you know, thank God nothing happened. Yeah. Your babies are good. Now you're a whole mother of three. You're a wife. You're one of beauties and lifestyle's top influencer. How do you manage all that? Because that's crazy. Gosh.
It's so overwhelming.
I'm like, I'm overwhelmed just by being an influencer. Now imagine adding three babies and a whole husband.
You know, I was overwhelmed when I didn't have a husband and kids as well. And now I think back on it and I'm like,
you're like, girl, that was easy.
Life. I was waking up at like 11 a.m. starting my day. I'm like, I was sitting here thinking I was so booked and busy.
Yeah, me. But I'm like, girl, me right now.
Yeah, but honestly, it has taught me that women are so powerful and we can wear so many different hats with grace.
Yeah.
I love that I have all these different sides to me, and becoming a mom really did, like I said, it humbled me in ways that I'm so thankful for. It has taught me so much about myself, about women. But I wouldn't be able to do it without my support system.
Yeah.
I have very hands-on parents, a very hands-on husband. And even I think a lot of times we think of a village and we just think of family.
Yeah.
But there's so much more to a village than just family. There's also, if you have housekeeping, that's your village. My son goes to school, his teachers are my village. My friends are my village. All these people are your village. So if I didn't have my village, I would not be able to do it.
I feel like it plays a big part to your success. You know, like having this whole, like you said, this village behind you. Like it's, yes, Nas, but it's not just Nas doing the damn thing. It's like, thanks to everyone, you're here. So I want to touch, you know, a topic that makes me so proud for you. You know, we've talked about, you know, you retiring your parents literally last year, which is such a crazy and such a proud moment, which I feel like, you know, you went through and you're so proud of yourself. How was that? And how do you feel now being able to retire your parents at 24?
So again, for me, my parents have never asked me for a dime. So it wasn't even something that was in my head until I was looking for nannies for Kayvon, because, you know, Mel wanted to get into work. So right now, Mel is a stay-at-home dad, and he's with the kids. And he wanted to, you know, pursue his photography career, which he will once all the kids are in school. So I was looking at nannies, and I'm like, yo, the price of having a nanny?
It's crazy.
And at the end of the day, I'm hiring this, like, random woman that I don't really know. So I'm like, I would rather give that money to my parents.
Yeah.
And my parents are older. Again, my brother is, like, 15 years older than me. So my parents are older. My parents are in their 60s.
Okay, okay.
And I was like, you know what? Like, why don't I give this money to my parents and they can live their soft life?
Yeah.
You know? And when I tell you, again, my parents weren't around when I was a kid. They were always at work. And I would be at the restaurant too, but again, my parents were working. And that's why I have such a soft spot for mom and pop shops. When I walk in there, even like nail salons, and I see kids like playing on their little computer on the side. That was me, like my entire childhood. So just being able to do that for my parents. Again, my parents were constantly stressed. Yeah. And now being able to spend time with my parents, like now I'm finally getting to spend time with my parents and get to know them.
Yeah.
And I'm also getting to know them in a place where they're a lot more happy and comfortable. And my dad's a diabetic. Like he was working so hard in this restaurant. When I had Kayvon, he sent my mom to LA and he ran the restaurant by himself. It aged my dad so many years. And it was all for me for his kids. Like my parents sacrificed so much for me and my siblings. So when I thought of that, I like approached my parents with that, and they're like, well, if you're comfortable with it, again, my parents have never asked me for anything. Yeah. So I was like, of course, there's nobody else I'd rather, like this money I made is because of you guys. Like I wouldn't have been able to do it without
your
you.
Your dad bought your first computer.
Literally, he got my computer, he got my camera. They were always supporting me because easily, again, for Middle Eastern parents, they could have easily been like, you're not doing that, you're not doing this, and really held me back.
Yeah.
And kept me from my potential. But they did the complete opposite. They always, always had my back. And even now, as an adult woman, I feel like my parents got my back. Even when I feel super stressed, I'm like, my parents got me, my husband's got me.
I'm good.
You know, I'm good. So
How did they react to it? I'm sure they were so proud, especially, you know, coming over here to pursue the American dream. And now they have their 24-year-old yes. daughter retiring them. How was that for them?
So I don't want to downplay my parents' success because, again, I told you yeah. they owned the building that their old restaurant was a part of. So we own in our previous yeah, yeah. home. So we do have a few rental properties in Ohio. So they have that. But again, like their day-to-day expenses, their bills. I remember I got them like credit cards
yeah.
and I just handed them their credit cards like, even now, bless their hearts, my parents will ask me before a big purchase. They're like, my mom's like, can I buy this new dining table? I was like, Mom, don't ask me. Like,
just do it.
Yeah, yeah, like, of course. And again, my parents aren't big spenders. Like, they're not taking the money and doing whatever. Yeah. Like, but they really are just, my parents are such good people. And I believe who I am is yeah. because of my them. Parents.
Yeah.
My parents have always just been so giving. And they've gotten taken advantage of so many times. Like my dad, for example, bless his heart. There was this one homeless guy by our restaurant. And my dad was like, come sleep in our restaurant. Gave him food. Gave him a job. He robbed my dad and bounced.
Bitch. Literally. Is what I got to say.
And my dad's God. Still heart of gold. Even though that happened, I'm still.
Didn't learn.
Takes care of people.
Which is a great thing to have. It's yeah. who he is.
Well, we're in Romania. There was this one little homeless boy. My dad loves bringing homeless people. This little homeless boy, like little 12-year-old boy. My dad brought him home, wanted to basically adopt him.
Aww.
He woke up in the morning, he was gone. Like literally my parents are just such giving people. My mom is such an amazing friend. She's always like taking care of her girlfriends and all of that. And I learned a lot from them.
And I feel like that I see them. That reflection in you just by aww. What you've told me today. You
thank
know,
you.
You're a reflection of their character of, you know, they've taught you to be, you know, a great person.
Yeah.
Literally. Now to end the interview, I want to ask you a question that I always ask everyone of what is next for you in the next 5 years?
You know, if you would have asked me the next 5 years before I had kids, I'd be like, oh my God, 5 years is so long. But now when I tell you having kids, time
is gold.
So fast. So like my son's already 3 and a half.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I had him last week. So 5 years is like a blink of an eye.
Yeah.
So in 5 years, where do I see myself? Honestly, I just love what I'm doing. I hope to like keep growing with my social media. I hope that I can set up, I really want to set up good foundations for my kids. Again, I didn't come from money, so yeah. I don't know the whole like creating trusts and this. Like I have a business manager now yeah. who kind of handles my money, and she hit me up the other day and she's like, you know, it's time we start writing up your will. And like have things set up for in yeah. case anything happens, because I now have properties under my belt. Yeah. I now have this career, life insurance. So I'm like, oh my gosh, like I didn't think I'd be doing that so soon in yeah. my life. So I would love to like just have a good foundation for my kids. Ultimately, I feel like all of us influencers, we want to start a brand. And yeah. it's kind of like, oh, another influencer starting a brand. But it really is something that I do want to do one day. I definitely see myself being a business owner. And I don't know when the right time for that will be. I do have a collab coming up. So just, you know, kind of getting a little taste of that. I love that my followers can have a little piece of me, yeah. you know, so.
And I feel like everything you put yourself to, you're going to accomplish. Just by hearing your story, hearing your talk, you look like such a determined woman to get things done. Like any dream you have, I know you'll get it done.
Thank you so much.
So I just want to go ahead and say thank you so much for coming on the podcast, even opening up about things that you haven't even talked about. It really means a lot. And I know the people watching at home are really going to be able to take something of value from this interview and be like, you know what? Maybe they'll probably even see you. Your followers will probably see you in a new light where they're like, wow, I didn't know about this about her. And I really do appreciate you coming on here and being so vulnerable.
Aww, well, thank you for this amazing platform. I can't believe I'm finally on the podcast. I'm
so excited to have you guys. My seedless, I was actually telling my boyfriend and my best friend, I was like, I'm so nervous because you guys know I go from the English, from the Spanish yeah. so quick that I don't even think about it. So like right now, I'm like, before I even say anything, I'm like constantly thinking about what I'm going to say uh-huh. to try to keep it all English, para que me entienda, so you can understand. So I feel like I did good too.
No, you did amazing.
I did good. We're not trying to, you know, go between uh-huh. the languages too often. But with that being said, guys, I want to go ahead and say thank you one more time.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you guys so much for watching today's episode. If you guys want to go ahead and follow Naz on our social medias, I will leave them linked down below as well as on the screen, so you guys can go ahead and keep up with her with everything she does. Y también no se les olvide to follow me so you guys won't miss any future episodes. And with that being said, thank you once again.
Thank you
guys so much for watching, and we'll see you guys in the next one.
Bye
guys.